Welcome to Pep and Chad with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. This is the podcast where I connect with pals, and we sometimes talk about touring. We sometimes talk about music, but we always talk a little bit about snacks. Today's guest is a fantastic songwriter from the East Coast. You all know them, Mo Kenny. I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation. I apologize in advance. I talk a lot in this episode about how much I love Dartmouth. But I just went down memory lane. I really did. This conversation was super fun. We talk about chilly apartments. Mo tells me about jammy buns. And we talk a lot. We talk a lot about Dartmouth, and we make some serious plans, so it's on the record. One day, I'm going to go to Dartmouth, and Mo Kenny will be my tour guide, if you will, for lack of a better term, and I will get to experience Dartmouth through Mo's eyes, and I look forward to that day. Okay, let's get right to it. Today's guest is the fantastic Mo Kenny. Mo Kenny, I'm just over the dang moon that... Oh, I swore already. I'm over the moon that you are willing to talk to me.
Of course, bud. So good to talk to you.
I'm really excited to catch up. And, you know, I have to admit, and please do not take, well, I can't tell you how to feel, but I'm not trying to offend you when I say this, but I actually forgot that you do not live in Halifax. You do, in fact, live in Dartmouth. And that makes me so happy and so excited because when I went to school in Nova Scotia, I lived in Dartmouth and I love Dartmouth. And I'm just so excited to talk about Dartmouth if you're willing to talk about Dartmouth.
Oh yeah. I love Dartmouth. Wait, where did you go to school when you were here?
So I went to Nova Scotia Community College, the waterfront campus.
Yes, nice.
Yeah. This was back when Way Mason was the prof, and I studied music business. Yep.
Is that how you met Dana?
Funny enough, no, actually.
Weird.
Yeah, I know. And I think we've figured it out that we probably would have been on campus at the same time, but I think she was taking photography, maybe.
Oh, that's wild.
So I guess
your paths wouldn't have crossed then, maybe.
Or they
should have.
Yeah, and now I'm trying to think about this now. Maybe she took photography the year after I graduated from music business. Oh, I can't remember.
I can't remember when that would have been either. Dana and I met because we both worked at the Sobeys in Halifax when we were like 20. But I can't remember when she would have taken that photography course. It probably would have been like 2018 or 2019, I think.
Okay, that's so funny because I would have assumed that you met through like shows, music stuff.
But you isn't met that at Sobeys. So funny?
Yeah,
we met at Sobeys. We both worked in the deli.
Oh, yeah. Were you like at the front, like slicing meat for people, or were you like doing deli stuff in the back? I don't even know what the deli stuff in the back would be, but I just assume it's so, a lot.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I was kind of responsible for all of that stuff. Like I made pizza and I would have to do like, because I was so visible, if somebody came over and wanted like meat or something, I would have to go like help them with that kind of stuff too. But I remember when Dana started working there, I'd already been there for like a month or something. And she had come from like Subway, I think. And she was so fast. Like she'd be back there. She was making sandwiches and she would just finish all her work so early. So she would just, I would just be like, okay, well, can you come help me make pizzas now? Cause I was really slow. So I think that's kind of how we became friends. She was just like super efficient.
I could see that. I could see Beeler just like really rocking the sandwiches. Like, yeah, she just like, there is this part of Beeler. I feel like it's just like really kind of can be like very like pragmatic. No, this is how you do this. This is how you do this. This is how you do this. And you just do it, you know?
Yeah. And she did. Yeah. She was so good at it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And then, yeah. So I met Beeler when she was working at the company house. Right. Oh, I guess I should back up a bit because there will be listeners a little bit. This is, dear listener, we are talking about Dana Beeler, who fronts the band Hello Delaware. She was a guest, I believe, episode 4 maybe, or some early on in the podcast. You can check out that episode if you haven't already. We talk a lot about horses. I feel like now there was a missed opportunity there. I should have been asking her more about the Sobeys. Like, what? How do you make sandwiches so fast? What's your secret? You know?
I know. We have to loop back around and ask Dana about that at some point. Yeah. I have to know what her secret was. I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah. At some point. Yeah. We gotta circle back, as they say, in the meetings world. But so
in the business world.
Yeah. Yes, that's the biz. That's what I learned in music business. I met Dana at the Company House when she worked there, because I was on tour with Jenny McDonald, who I met.
Oh yeah.
When I was studying music business, she was taking the music business, like, music arts program. So that was the 2-year program. I was just taking the music business program. But I met Jenny then, and she played on the Via Rail, like, when you can, like, play on the train for free or whatever. Well, you play on the train and then you get it in exchange, then you get your transportation and meals and usually a place to sleep.
Do they still do that?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
That's awesome.
I did it once as well, and it was, yeah, it was an experience.
Tell me more. Was it fun, or was it like really intense and kind of weird?
All of it. all of it, to be honest. Well, I remember like the contract being really intimidating, and I was like, what is this? Like, what is this? And I remember there wasn't a guarantee if you would actually have a bed to sleep in. So that kind of, that what? Was a little bit, I'm pretty sure, like, this is going back almost 10 years now, actually probably 10 years now. So maybe things have changed, but I just remember there being something like, if there's a bed available, you might be able to have a kind of feel. So I was like, am I going to get to sleep in a bed, or will I have to sleep in the chair? Cause I'm a little bit nervous about performing
if you're not sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you can't have anything amplified. And I remember the person I did this with, like, had like a mini amp, and I think that was okay. I can't remember what ended up happening, but, it ended up being okay. I just remember there were like some folks that were really going through some stuff at the shows. So people were really sharing a lot of really heavy stuff, and it was like,
really,
yeah, it got really intense, like some of the shows. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah,
that's cool. I love emotional intensity. I'd be so into that. I'd be like, yes, let's talk about it.
But it was like also kind of like in this like public, like there's 10 of us in a car, and just like someone's really putting it all out there, and I was just like, I honestly it got to the point where I'm like, I'm not equipped. Like, I'm like 21 years old, just trying to go see what Montreal's like. I am not. I don't have like the knowledge. I don't know how to handle this. You know what I mean?
This isn't part of my contract.
Yeah. Yeah. But I remember the food being really awesome. I remember being like, the train was stopped somewhere in Manitoba, and it was snowy out, and it was just like, we were eating this like delicious steak in a field. Like, that was pretty cool. So
nice.
Yeah. I thought Via Rail was like, I don't know. I've had like positive experiences on the train. I've also had some weird experiences on the train where like some folks are like partying like really hard with like mini boom boxes and like coach, and it's like, what's happening? Like, why is this happening? Yeah. And then I remember getting to the train station, and I was like so tired because I didn't sleep. This was like another time when I was just traveling on the train, and like, but then that you'd see people who like did get their own cabins, and they were like, everyone was arriving to get their at the carousel to get their luggage, and like, I'm like, oh, that person is well rested, and I don't recognize them from coach. I'm like, they had their own cabin. Yeah, like
they had a cabin.
Yeah, if you get the cabin, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, but that would be so deluxe.
Yeah, Yeah, the cab. And to be fair, when I was playing on the train, I did get a cab, and so it all worked out. I just remember, like, I don't know, we've all had that, right? Where the contract is, like, super intimidating. You're like, what am I getting myself into? And you show up, and it's actually, like, super chill. Like, I don't even think they checked my ID.
Sure.
Like, they didn't check my ID when I got onto the train.
Like, they're like, hop on.
You got a guitar? All right. All aboard. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. I would recommend it. Maybe. I would say
yeah,
why not?
Seems fun. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have to play, like, how long do you have to play for? Like,
I think it was two sets a day, and I think it was, well, I think maybe it was like an 45 to an hour each. I can't remember. Like, you'd have to do, there were two different train cars.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, it was yeah, it was pretty good. And you were encouraged to do, like, CanCon. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that would be, I've always wanted to. So did you do, like, coast to coast, or was it just like?
So this was like my early 20s where I was like, I'm getting out of Saskatchewan. Like, I don't want to live here. You know, I've been here my whole life. I got to go to the city.
Yeah.
And so I was like, the whole point of going on this trip was like to check out Toronto and to check out Montreal and to see like which big city to move to. I didn't end up going to either. I enjoyed both, but like, I don't know, the stars just didn't align, and then I ended up staying in Moose Jaw. That's where I was living at the time, and like, I love Moose Jaw, don't get me wrong, Mo, but I was just like, I don't know, I think you feel that pressure too, or at least you can, I don't know that I've felt the pressure from others in the industry to move to Toronto, and so I think a part of me was just like,
yeah,
oh,
for
okay,
sure,
well, I'm gonna do that, like, I don't know, I'm
just, yeah, it just seems like this thing that you have to do at some point, like,
yeah,
for some reason,
yeah. But I don't know if you can like relate to this or something, but I just feel like, you know, like Moose Jaw area has been like where I've lived my whole life, and I'm just like, well, no, it makes sense for me to be an artist here, but it doesn't mean that I'm not like driven and don't want like a full-on career. It's just like, it makes sense for this to be my home base, because this is where I'm working as an artist and like base my, like, get my inspiration from. And I don't know, do you feel that
definitely
in Dartmouth or?
Yeah, definitely. I've never had the urge to move away, I guess. I think that I thought that I had to go to Toronto or Montreal in my early 20s for something to happen, or to be successful as a musician. But I think I just realized that that's not the case. So I just stayed here. I love it here. I don't really have a desire to live somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I've been really lucky. Like, Joel just lives down the street, and he's kind of been, you know, he's been my mentor this whole time. So I haven't really ever felt the need to move away because I felt like something was lacking here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I love cool. it. I love it here.
If you were going to like recommend like the perfect Dartmouth day, what does the perfect Dartmouth day look like?
Oh man, I'll tell you my perfect Dartmouth day. So there's this cafe on Portland Street called Cafe Good Luck. And basically anytime I have a day off, I like wake up in the morning, I walk down to the cafe and I get a coffee and two of these little like pastries called jammy buns.
Nice.
They're like, I'm addicted to them. I'm so addicted to sugar. I don't drink anymore. I stopped drinking early in the pandemic. So I just have this like insane sugar addiction now. So I go down there and I get jammy buns and I eat them. And then usually I'll walk over to Morley's for another coffee. And Morley's has Taz Records in it as well. And they now have they've got a bookstore there now too called Friction Books. So I'll go pop by there and chat with either Brendan or Eric, two of the guys that work there. Look at the books, look at the records, walk down to the water. In the summer, I swim all the time. There's just lakes everywhere. I have a lake right in my backyard. I rent this spot up in it feels like you're in the country kind of where I live. I'm like a 15-minute walk from downtown, but like Dartmouth is so small that it feels like I'm not in the city when I'm here. I can swim in the lake. It's just kind of awesome. When was the last time you were in Dartmouth?
Oh, sorry. I'm just like, I'm mentally following you right now. I'm swimming in the lake. You know, we just check out some books. We just check out some records. We had some, I'm sorry. Those were called jammy buns.
Jammy buns.
Jammy buns. Yeah. That's amazing. I also love sugar. I think sugar's the best.
It is the best.
So, okay. But then after the swim though, sorry. And then I will tell you when I was in Dartmouth last, but after the swim, what are we eating?
Okay. There's a bunch of options. There's like the Wooden Monkey, which is at the ferry terminal, and it has this sweet view of Halifax. So that's nice, especially in the summer. You can sit out on the patio. But I will go to the Cafe Good Luck has sandwiches too. So I spent a lot of time at that place.
Nice.
Or like Yeah Yeah's Pizza is really good. I get pizza from there all the time, or the canteen. And there's also like there's a really good sushi place and a really good ramen place. So I just kind of like cycle through all of those options. Depends on what I'm in the mood for.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. I never have to go into Halifax. I never have to leave. Everything I need is here.
Oh, that's amazing. I feel like when I went to school, like I graduated in 2009. And so I feel like around like shortly after that, a lot of really cool things started opening up in Dartmouth. Like my marketing teacher opened up the croissant place.
Tibbs? The two of spicy?
Yeah. Yeah. But that was after I graduated.
That was like the first place that popped up, I think. That was like a trendier spot. I think that was like the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. I went there. I don't remember when I went there for the first. I can't remember I went there for the first time. But I went. So the last time I was in Dartmouth was in 2019, in June 2019. And like, basically, like ever since I was a little kid, I've always heard my folks say, like, we were big Anne of Green Gables fans. And my
so was I.
yeah. I loved Anne of Green Gables like so much, and people like when they first found out that I was like starting to like play music and sing, like I remember like so many folks were like, "Oh, you should go be Anne of Green Gables in PEI because I have red hair." Anyways. Also, like, why that's funny to me too is I was like 17 at the time, like just starting to write my own songs, and everyone's like, go to PEI and be Anne of Green Gables.
That is such hilarious advice.
Yeah, I think it's just like so wholesome and small town, you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, well, this this is how you could do it. But my folks were always like talking about the Maritimes. One day we'll go to the Maritimes. One day we'll go to the Maritimes. And I don't know, like I had a humble upbringing or whatever. I'm not trying to be hard on my folks for being like, you know, there's obviously reasons why they didn't go sooner, but my mom and dad had had a credit on, and they were talking about I think it was sometime in 2018. They're like, we want to go to the Maritimes. And I was like, let's just go. I'll take you. Cause my folks are pretty small town. They don't like to drive in the city, and like Regina and Saskatoon are the city to them. Like it's big city driving.
Yeah.
So the idea of like renting a car in a different province somewhere, they're just like so intimidated by it. So I was like, I'll be your tour guide. I'll drive you around the Maritimes. Let's just go. Like it was like totally came from a place of love, but also a place of like, I'm irritated or I'm annoyed with hearing this, like Maritimes, it's not the Middle Earth, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like it's like this out of reach place. Yeah, you can go.
It's real, and we could go. Let's just go. And I'll be honest with you, Mo, like I think about that trip so often, because it was also like the first trip I took that wasn't work related. I'm like, I'm literally going all the way to Nova Scotia without a guitar with my folks, and we're gonna like drive around. So we met up with Beeler. My parents love they love Beeler so much. And we hung out with her for a bit, and we stayed at her place actually in Halifax, which is so sweet.
Nice.
And then I drove my folks around like Cape Breton, and we did go to PEI, and it was pretty awesome. But I took my folks around Dartmouth and I showed them like the campus, which was kind of cool because it was like already closed at that point, but it was still open. Like so we could just like go hang out, and it's like a pretty sweet campus really, like for like
it is,
you know, especially for prairie
really
folks.
Nice.
Like we can like sit and like look at a harbor, like that's amazing. You know,
I know, I do always take the harbor for granted. I forget that every city doesn't have one.
Yeah it's so gorgeous. I remember really struggling with that actually, being on campus there, and like because the windows were everywhere, and I'd just be staring out the windows all
just staring
the
out the window.
Just like watching like ships come in. I'm like, this is so beautiful. But I took my folks to the Two If by the Sea. Am I saying that right? I'm really
dead. Two If by Sea.
Two If by Sea. Okay. And went there for some croissants and coffee, and like had some pizza at the place too. I think there's a pizza place.
Oh yeah.
Attached
Yes, pizza.
Oh, that's the pizza you talked about earlier.
Yep.
Nice.
That's the one.
Nice. Okay, very cool. And then went to the other place you talked about too, that used to have like has the records, and there used to be like a hair salon in there too.
Oh yeah, that's it was called the New Scotland Emporium, but now they just had a name change because they're a bookstore and a record store and a coffee shop now, so it's called Morley's. That's the name. Morley's is the name of the cafe. Friction Books is the name of like the bookstore area, and then Taz Records is just like, you know, the records.
Nice. Oh my gosh, I miss the Maritimes so much.
Oh man, I know. Yeah, you gotta come back. You gotta come back, and I'll give you like a tour, my tour of Dartmouth. You gotta come back in the summer. No. It'll be so fun.
I would love that so much. So actually, okay. Well, now I have this in. I have this recorded. I have you saying this the record.
You've got proof.
And no pressure, but my partner and I were who knows, right? Like, but we've been planning to come to Nova Scotia. Like, we really want to go in June, and I'm like, because it's like kind of like I like the idea of June and or September, because it's like, I don't know, not as touristy normally. I don't know. And like June, I like traveling in June. But we just haven't booked anything yet because of COVID and just like the variants and stuff. And I'm just like, I have such a hard time planning that far ahead now, which is like, I don't know, kind of ironic, I guess, because we always used to think, you know, 2 years ahead, 5 years ahead, like all the time as artists. And now it's like the idea of booking something for 6 months ahead right now, I'm just like, I don't know how to do that.
I know, it's wild. Hey, you really like, you really can't book anything because nothing is certain anymore. You never know. It's like, if it's like, it can be the right time if COVID isn't popping off, but you really don't know what's going to happen these days. It's, you can't, it's hard to plan, but I hope you guys do get out here in June. That's a great time to come, because you can like, it's warm enough to start swimming. You can like come swim in all the lakes.
Yeah, amazing.
Maybe camp if you're staying for a while. That would be nice.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. And he has it like the farthest east he has been is Montreal. So he's never been to the Maritimes.
Been
to the Maritimes. So I'm like, please.
Yeah,
and we've never traveled together. So we really like, it's important to really test a relationship, you know?
Yeah, that's like the ultimate test. Seeing if you can travel and survive. Are you planning on driving up?
No, we would fly.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Long drive.
Oh, actually though, you know, the last time I drove to the Maritimes, We were driving through, where were we now? It was like, so this was back in 2017, and we were going to play Halifax Pop Explosion, my band and I. And
nice.
I have this very, like, good memory of driving through it was nighttime, driving through rural New Brunswick, and you had just... you had just released The Details, I'm pretty sure, right? Like, what was the
release? That would have been, I think it was 2016 or 2017. I honestly can't remember right now. And I do not remember what month it was either, but definitely 2016 or 2017.
Yeah, and we were listening to your record on that drive, and so now, like, I love doing that. I love, like, knowing when you're on tour, it's like, okay, we have to do this stretch. I want to listen to this record right now for the first time, so I always associate, like, this part of the country, like, with this. And we're, like, driving through, you know, like, starting to get into the Maritimes. We're like, we got to listen to this new record, yeah.
Yes, so, wicked. I know, I love that. And then you listen to it again, it just immediately transports you back.
Yeah.
To that time.
Yeah.
So I love that. Yeah, it was 2017 that it came out.
I'm wondering if it was now I want to know the date. Sorry. I'm like thinking of, like, was it October? Was it the fall?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I think it might have been September.
Okay, September. Okay.
Wait. Let me do some research here. I want to know too. I need to know.
Cuz I feel like it was like brand new. So we're like, we got to listen to
definitely
new Mokenya.
Yeah, record. September 29th, 2017.
Oh,
so
nice.
It was like beginning of the fall. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Well, thank you for your art.
Hey, you're welcome.
We need to take a short break after we just went down memory lane. We need to take a short little break here. I don't have a very good segue for a break. We don't have any mattress commercials or anything. Just time just stops for a little bit. But we'll be back soon.
Goodbye.
Hey friend, you're listening to Pep and Shed with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center. Today's guest is Mo Kenny. I'm back with Mo Kenny. And you're back listening to us. Dear listener, yeah, we're all here. And I have to admit, I'm feeling super nostalgic for the Maritimes. And I just miss the Maritimes so much. I always miss the Maritimes, though. Like, I feel like when I left after going to college there, I was like, I'm going to come back every year, which is so unrealistic for flying in Canada, especially with the lifestyle I chose, you know? Yeah, I just love it so much, but it's also never been the place where I've had to, like, really worry about bills or, like, rent. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of been, like, it's really easy for me to romanticize it, but also, like, the Maritimes are gorgeous, and there's, like, it can be really great. I don't know.
Yeah, so you only have, like, nice memories from being here, so it's, like, kind of... That's
pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's so good. It's
kind of the best. I have to agree with you.
So did you, like, were you born in Dartmouth? Like, is Dartmouth, like, always been your place?
No, till I was like 11 or 12, I was living out, in this little town called West Gore, which is like really rural, kind of like central Nova Scotia. And I went to elementary school out there. That's where my mom grew up. So I kind of lived out there, living that country life. We had like a pet goat.
Aww.
And my grandfather or my grandparents lived out there too. I spent a lot of time at their place, and they had like turkeys and chickens and, you know, it was a really, really awesome place to be a little kid. I just like had so much room to roam around, and I hung out in the woods all the time. Like, I just loved climbing trees and being out in nature. So that was really nice. And then when I was 11, we moved out to Fall River, Waverly area. And I started going to school here, which was like a real shock to the system, because it felt like the big city, even though it really isn't. It's just like, it's a pretty like small rural town. We kind of just like stayed. My folks moved around a lot. We had like my mom just like really loves to move. So we lived in like so many different houses, like in the same area.
Mm.
But yeah, it's where I met all my all my friends, still have a lot of friends from like junior high, high school that I still talk to, that I'm still really close with, luckily. And then I moved up to Dartmouth when I was 23, I think, right before I made my second record. I got an apartment on Portland Street when it was still super cheap to live there. It was right downtown, had this like huge one bedroom apartment that didn't cost anything. But it cost $1 million to heat in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the rent was super cheap, but like, I don't know if there wasn't any insulation in the walls or what, but like the heat would just go, like, had those old windows, the heat just like wouldn't stay in, and it was electric heat. So I ended up paying so much for electricity every couple months. I remember I would just wear like a fur coat around the house to like save on heat. Fur coat that my friend gave me.
Oh goodness, yeah, heat. It's I've plastered my windows now, and I actually, this is something my neighbor told me, and this is like, I swear by this now, and I probably will do this in every home I live in, but I hang curtains over all my doors as well.
Oh really?
Yeah,
that helps.
Yeah, it helps with the draft. Yeah, and like the door,
nice.
That's really drafty in this house, I hang the curtain every night, and then I have like these two pillows that I put at the bottom too to kind of seal it off more. But
yeah,
curtains in front of the doors actually is it does help. But
yeah, the plastic is helpful too. I remember the first winter I didn't do that, but then the second winter I was there, I got the plastic, and it did really help a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then I have like two curtains over top of this one window. like two layers of curtains too, and the plastic. So, but still, like, my natural gas bill is like going to be a lot, because we've had some really extreme cold in Saskatchewan, like -40 kind of stuff.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah,
so cold.
Yeah. And it's like, a friend of mine was like, no, you got to keep your house, like, don't turn it down. Don't turn the heat down at night. You got to keep it going, because you don't want like things to like have to work harder to catch up, and like things, you don't want your pipes to freeze up and things like that. And I have had my furnace, the exhaust on the outside of the house, I did have it freeze up last winter, and that was kind of scary, because then your furnace shuts off, or you know, worst case, then you'd get carbon monoxide in your house, right? But most furnaces will shut off now, but that was scary though. It was like -47 or whatever with the wind chill, and I looked to check at the thermostat, and I was like, it's 16 degrees in here. That was like colder than I expected, and I was like, it's not running. Yeah, like right before bed I realized that. But anyways, I've learned, and what I did too is I had this like plum tree that would kind of get in the way, and so I had to prune that this year so it wouldn't like help the exhaust collect ice. But I don't know. Sorry, Mo. This is probably just boring prairie extreme weather chat. I'm sorry.
it is not at all. Do you own your place or do you rent?
So, believe it or not, I did an actual rent to own on a tiny little house in the middle of nowhere that a friend of mine bought.
Nice.
This house, like, I don't know, years ago. Really back in the time when you could get rural property in Saskatchewan for like very, very cheap. But like this house was also, you know, it was neglected for quite some time. So it's been like a big experience to learn about old homes. Like honestly, like when I go to another place, like my dream is to get back to the big city of Moose Jaw and like actually be in the city. And like, I know I have so many things now that I'm like, I'm going to look for this. Things I never would have thought of beforehand. Like, do you have access to this? Like, how do you access the behind, like the shower? Like, you know, things like that. I never would have thought of. What's the crawl space like underneath the bathtub? Is there one? You know, like so many things I never would have thought of, you know? Yeah. What's the furnace exhaust like?
Yeah. Even like the heat stuff, you know, like. Yeah, heat pump. You guys should get a heat pump.
Yeah?
Help you out. Yeah, I guess those are pretty, like, energy efficient.
Oh. I don't even know what that is. So I'm going to write this down. And I'm going to Google it. Sorry, you said it's a heat pump?
Heat pump. Yeah.
Okay, heat pump. I also wrote down jammy buns.
Yeah, jammy buns. After this, I'm going to send you a picture of a jammy bun so you can see.
Okay, see amazing. For yourself. Amazing. Are you okay with us putting that on the Pep and Ched social media?
Of course, of course. I want the world to know.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, winter weather. I remember when I first got to Nova Scotia, and this was like 2008, and I remember there was like a hurricane coming, and so many people back home were like messaging me, there was like, there's a hurricane, and it was like, they were really freaked out, and I was really freaked out too. And then it wasn't a major event, like it was like, oh, there's going to be a lot of wind and there's going to be a lot of rain, but it was just, it just kind of was some weather. But that was different, that was unique to me. There's also a federal election that year, I believe, and I got to vote in Nova Scotia, so kind of cool.
Oh, nice. So did you spend a whole winter here? How did you find the winter compared here from like Saskatchewan?
I just remember the snow being really different. Like I remember I lived in this like boarding house, and like the roommates and I, we had to take turns like shoveling off the step as it was coming down, because it was just so thick and heavy that it just had to stay on top of that. And that was something back home that wasn't really with the drier snow, wasn't really a huge worry in previous places I lived in Saskatchewan. So that was the biggest thing. Have you spent like many winters touring and like have had to experience winters in different parts of the country, or are you mainly in the Maritimes for the winter?
Yeah, I feel like I'm always touring in the winter. I think like in the past, usually my tour cycle would start in like September and then go till Christmas. Like I remember driving around out west. I think I was in the Rockies one time in a rental car driving around in the middle of winter, and I was really freaked out because I think like with rental cars, they just give you all seasons most of the time. Like they don't really put winter tires on. So I was a little freaked out about that. But yeah, I've done a lot of winter touring. Have you? Does that freak you out? I feel like I'm not freaked out by any weather now, like driving in any weather, just because I feel like I've done it all.
Yeah. I do get nervous about traveling during the extreme cold. Like I feel like I can handle a lot of weather, because I also I've driven in a lot of it, but the extreme cold still, I'm like, I don't want to do that.
You just don't want to be in it.
Yeah, and like things can just go wrong, you know? Like,
yeah,
like
my,
yeah, even actually, well, I let my van sit for a few days. Like, last time I drove it was the 21st, and then I tried to fire it up on the 29th, and like just the fans would not work. So I had no heat. And it's like, but I also had let it sit for that long, and maybe I should have fired it up and just taken it around the block or whatever at some point during that.
keep it alive.
Yeah, yeah. But like that, I was just like, oh, what if this happened on the road, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that would be scary. Yeah, that's an option I hadn't considered. Like the heat went
but,
to the car.
You know, I guess if I was on tour, usually I'd be somewhere near a city center and could maybe like go park in a heated garage or something. I don't know, like for a little bit, because it was like literally just frozen. Like the fans were like, "I'm not gonna work. This is too cold. What do you want from me?" You know, I don't know. It's just it's spooky when it's that extreme cold. Like highway driving too. I'm just like, oh man, it's
yeah, it's true. Yeah, sometimes it is so cold that your car is just like, nah, not gonna start up today.
No, and it was like it was plugged in. Actually, the engine started fine. It was just like, yeah, like the heat was like, nope, not gonna
weird
happen. Yeah, I was at my parents' weird house too, and they have a backlight, and I was like letting my dog out to go to the washroom like quickly. Like I carry him out to his favorite spot, and then I pick him up. He's got a jacket on, but it's like I've never been able to find boots that he likes, and it's like his paws get so cold so fast, right? So I carry him out. So I did that, and I tried to turn on the light, and like their backlight was just like, nope, it's too cold, we're not gonna turn on for you. And it's like it works fine when once it warmed up a bit, but yeah, I don't know. Extreme cold is a little freaky, but you know, I'll admit I'm still very much like, I don't know, my risk management has definitely changed since the pandemic started. it's like the things I used to do and not worry about. Like, I remember one time I was on tour in Europe, and I remembered, like, it's probably a thought that came to me at, like, 3 a.m., 3 weeks into a six-week tour. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot to get insurance, like, health insurance. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot to do that. I would never forget that now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That sounds like something I would do. I'm just, like, so ADD.
Yeah.
Forget everything.
I don't have, like, an official diagnosis, but, yeah, I don't know. I don't know sometimes, let me tell you. I wonder. But then I've asked a friend the process, because she works in the healthcare world. I'm like, what's the process of getting, like, an ADHD diagnosis? And she explained it to me, and I was, like, so overwhelmed. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm not going to do that. I think it varies from province to province, but in Saskatchewan, I was just, like, I was overwhelmed by it. But, dear listener, don't allow my overwhelmedness to discourage. Yeah,
you go for it.
Yeah, you go for it. I'm just living my life, and sometimes I say, hey, just be a little patient with me, please. But, you know, I don't know. But yeah, risk management, that's definitely changed for me during the pandemic. Yeah, I don't know.
Man, I've become such a hermit. Like, I used to be, well, I don't drink anymore, and when I was drinking, I was very social, but I found that maybe I'm not as social as I thought I was before. I'm just, like, a hermit. I just hang out at home. I got this little cat now.
Nice. What's your cat's name? Rules.
My cat's name is Frances.
Aww.
She's do you know who Jenna Berry is? Do you know that?
Yeah, her last record, I love that album.
I listen to it all the time. I get the vinyl, and it's just constantly playing.
Yeah.
I just, like, have it on. It's so, so good.
It is so good. I just, like, there are so many songs on that. I'm like, why didn't I write that? I wish I wrote that song.
I know. It's incredible.
So many good lines, and just, like, the tones, and just, like, I just love her writing. I've loved her music for a long time. I remember being such a dork when I met her at Folkline. She was there backing up. She was there supporting somebody.
Oh, was she with Jenny Burkle?
Yes,
And was she sang with Rose Cousins too, I think. Because I was there, I remember that.
Oh,
I remember
amazing.
Jenna.
Amazing.
Yeah, and her voice is just, like, so beautiful.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure she did, like, a music spot for, like, on, like, the Stuart McLean's, like, oh my gosh, the Vinyl Cafe.
Oh, really?
I think. Because I remember hearing her song... the one about, like, the dancing dress, or, like, the dress, like, when I dance with you in this dress. Jenna Berry.
Dancing the dress.
I'm not trying
to. You know that song, I would like to dance with you in this dress?
Yeah. I'm not trying to disrespect your work, Jenna Berry. I'm so sorry. You do not deserve that. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to remember.
I think it's called, is it Slow Dance? Would that be the song?
Well, I think the Slow Dance is maybe on the new record. And then there's another song about a dancing dress from an old record.
Slow Dance is on an older record.
Oh, is it? Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm, like, going right. to look that's it up right, right now, because I feel like just feel very disrespectful to this artist's work I love so much. I thought there was another song about dancing on holiday. Oh, yeah, No Dancer. Okay, so that... Very good. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're so right. Slow Dance is on the record from 2012. There's a theme going here. There's a theme going.
Yes, there's a dancing theme. Yeah, anyway, Jenna is the one who found this cat. Jenna found this cat on the South Shore in a ditch.
Aww.
And sent me a message, and she was like, do you want this kitten? And I said, yeah, I do.
Amazing. So do people just, like, assume you're an extrovert because you are a performer and you used to be out a lot, like, doing your job, and now because you don't, like, necessarily have the same, you know, opportunities to be out and about as much, it's like people are realizing you're more introverted, maybe? Or am I projecting a lot into this question?
No, you're spot on. Yeah, I feel like I feel like that is the case. People just kind of like assume because you're a performer that you're extroverted, but I don't think I'm like shy, but I'm definitely more of an introvert. And especially during this pandemic, I've spent so much time. I live alone. I've spent so much time alone. I've really like been leaning into that. So I feel like I'm just a bit socially weird now. I mean, I think I always kind of was, but especially now that I've been spending so much time alone. Like, do you live with your partner? Like, do you have somebody to like hang out with all the time? That's nice.
Yeah, like he works during the day. Like he has he leaves the house here at like 6:30, 6:20 around there. Yeah. And he's not home until 6. So I still have like a lot of alone time from Monday to Thursday. And, but sweet. I do still like, yeah, he is still around. And like, that was something that just happened because of the pandemic. Like we were one of those couples that we were just starting to see each other. And then like, you know, March 2020 hit, like just the scariest freaking month ever, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like,
and then I guess we'll just move in together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I will either see you all the time or I won't.
Or never again.
Or yeah. Never. Yeah. And so we chose the see you all the time option, and it's actually worked out really well and really beautiful. And like, I joke that we need to test our relationship by traveling together, but honestly I feel like having to live with me during a pandemic, like that is like the ultimate
test. That's the ultimate test. Like, that is the ultimate test.
Oh gosh. Like, just like, I remember too, like leading up, like we had a couple gigs in the summer of 2020, which I'm really grateful for and were really amazing. And then like we did some gigs this year, but like those first few months of the pandemic, I was just like, I would cry at least like, well, at least once a month about like no shows happening. I just miss playing shows so much.
Oh man, you know? I know. It feels so weird. I'm like a little more used to it now, but I feel like I haven't felt like a musician in 2 years since this pandemic started. Like, I haven't, like, I don't know about you, but I haven't been on like a proper tour since. So sad.
No. Yeah. And I see some folks going for it and I'm like, ooh, and it's like amazing to watch. But then also a lot of those tours too now are getting canceled again.
It seemed like things were ramping up finally, and then it just got shut down.
Yeah, and I'll admit, Mo, like I've been on the Prairie Province here looking at the Maritimes for a large chunk of this pandemic, being like, why did I move back after college? Like, because you did have a maritime bubble that for like a good portion of this pandemic seemed to be working like really well.
Yeah, super lucky. Yeah, we were super lucky, and now we're like one of the worst in the country, I think, as far as cases. Like,
yeah.
What can you do though?
I know.
I don't know.
I know. Yeah, it's so hard.
It is hard. Just gotta take it day by day, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you have anything booked? Like any shows booked, or
Well, I do have some stuff, and it's coming up pretty quick. So I'm like, I think some of the stuff might have to be moved, because like, I don't know. I feel like, especially when you're producing your own events and you really need ticket sales, like advanced ticket sales, to feel good about anything happening. It's like people need to feel good a month out or 2 months out. They need to feel safe buying a ticket in order to. I don't know, you know, so it's just like, it's not even like, will it be safe by that time? It's like, will it be safe leading up to it, so folks will want to actually buy those tickets? Because, don't know. So we'll see. But as far as like big tours go, no. But, you know, I don't know. I've been writing a lot during this time, not just like not songs really, but just writing. So and that's something
That's good
that I wouldn't have done otherwise. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think I have been too. I've been like, I started journaling again, and that had kind of gone by the wayside in recent years. And that's been really, really nice. Just like mindlessly recapping my days, kind of just for something to do.
Do you feel like I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh no, I was done.
Do you feel like those journal entries, are they ever planting seeds for songs, or are they just like their own thing?
It feels like I'm making space in my brain for something more creative.
Mm.
Kind of like, you know, just like getting out all the mundane, like things, stuff that that isn't creative that I'm like doing or like thinking about or like struggling with. And then I find that clears my brain out a little bit to be creative and write songs.
Nice.
I've had a really nice time writing songs during the pandemic.
Mm.
And it's been fun, like just like demoing stuff in my apartment and like playing around with that with no real plan to really like make a record. I'm just kind of like having fun with it and seeing if something happens. Although I am releasing a new song at the end of the month.
Oh, amazing.
On the 28th of January, I'm putting out a new song that I produced and wrote and played on myself at Joel's studio that I'm kind of pumped about.
Oh, perfect. Oh, that's so cool. All right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that'll be good.
I'm writing that down too. So far, I got January 28th, new song, Heat Pump, Jammy Buns. before I let you go, actually, we're like, believe it or not, we're already at the end of this chat. I have to ask Wild. You, when you're on tour, what's your favorite snack?
Okay, let me think about this. I feel like there's just, you know, you just end up at Tim Hortons.
yeah.
You know, it's like every day, it's like there's just one within like a stone's throw of wherever you are at all times when you're touring in Canada. So I feel like maybe like a Honey Cruller donut.
Oh.
They're pretty good. I think I eat like a lot of those on tour. But I usually try and find like a really good restaurant or something, or like I try and like investigate. That's like one of my favorite things to do, is like investigate where the really good food is.
Nice.
In different cities and try and go there. So I think it sort of depends, but like a consistent snack would probably be just like a donut, a Honey Cruller donut.
A Honey Cruller
from one of the 100 million Tim Hortons in Canada.
I feel like that's like a very sophisticated answer, though. Honey Cruller just sounds like very grown up to me, you know?
More so than like a Boston cream or something.
Or like more than like a sprinkled donut or like a double chocolate, you know what I mean? Like Honey Cruller just sounds like, it sounds like there's a robe, there's a pipe, you know?
and there is, yeah. That's right. The robe and the pipe to go along with it.
Mo, this has been such a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for the chat. Really look forward to hearing your new tune.
Yes, I'll send it to you. A little sneaky peek.
Yes. Thank you so much. All right. Bye.
Thanks, bud. Bye.
There you have it, folks. One of the best in the biz. That's Mo Kenny. Please check out their music at mokenny.com. And reminder, January 28th, they're going to have a new single dropping. So follow them on all their socials so you don't miss that. You've been listening to Pep and Chet with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. The Creative City Center is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, Sask Arts, the City of Regina, Canadian Heritage, and Creative Saskatchewan. This podcast is made possible because of their ongoing support, so thank you very much. Big thank you to the Garys for the use of their tune Burger Boy as the music you're listening to right now. The Creative City Center is a community-based arts center that used to present around 200 events a year and gave a lot of emerging artists a home as they were starting out. Now they are home for a lot of online productions, so check out creativecitycenter.ca to see what else they are cooking up besides all of this Pep and Ched with me, Megan Nash. Support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.